Hello and welcome to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I am joined by the Stormy Skies.
Yes, hello.
So we're back after a super late release of 2 weeks ago's episode because our recording software had a bit of a glitch.
Yes.
You probably heard it, but
that's okay.
It was a very frustrating situation for me, but hopefully we won't have any issues this week and my audio will actually not be super fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, you sound great to me right now. Hopefully that stays. I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah.
I had David do a lot of the editing for last week's episode, but he had to stop because apparently since I had to adjust my own pitch in the audio,
yeah,
not having bass actually made him a little nauseous.
Oh, geez.
So that's a thing. But if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you're not missing much. So save yourself a bout of nausea.
Nausea, yeah.
You kind of got lost for a second.
Tweet at us if you got nauseous. I mean, I that's actually kind of cool because this is like a horror movie podcast. So it's like we're trying to be scarier. So
what's scarier than throwing up on the bus?
I was going to say, if you're scared of throwing up. That's the real horror. She was like throwing up when Sam throws up sometimes when she's on public transportation.
That happened one time.
One time. I'm sorry I said sometimes as if it happens like a cup every week.
Frequently.
Like everyone's taking public transportation anymore. You wake up and it's wasn't. You're like, God damn it. Today's the throw up day.
I mean, if you're someone who rides the DC Metro or I guess any metro system, you know what it's like when it's super crowded and it's hot and people are everywhere and you can't hold it in anymore. That's not what happened with me. I was just sick and I decided to go into work anyway. Yeah. Not a good decision. Would not recommend.
Yeah, don't do that. If you're ill, just rest.
Just but make unless the call. You're like, yeah. Make the call.
Make the call. But unless you're like us, like you really like are like sometimes like I have no choice. I need money. You know what I mean? So yeah. You just kind of just like you just don't even care about how you feel. You're just like, I need money.
Speaking of making the call into work, we had a bit of a blizzard this morning. So half the people at David's office called in because of the snow. So they already have overtime on Friday.
Oh, man.
Like, fuck that.
I know, right?
You rednecks brag about your trucks, but a little snow and you can't come into work. Oh.
Dude, that's like a great point. You're not wrong. Doesn't everybody drive like a big truck? But every time I see a big truck go down the highway around here, it's like so huge, but it's always like going 60 and like not going any faster. I'm like, why are you going so slow? Can't your big ass truck with like six wheels go any faster? Like,
yeah,
damn.
Every time I would see a pickup truck when we lived in DC, it always threw me off because I was like, what do you need that for? You live in Old Town Alexandria. What are you hauling?
Yeah, are you trying to like haul around some bricks and mortar so you can build something like a brick and mortar
bookstore? So you can build another elitist apartment building next to the projects.
Need some wood so you can like build a treehouse. Like, what the fuck? Like, you don't need that.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So this week we are talking about the movie A Dark Song, which was released in 2016. It was starring Steve Oram and Catherine Walker, and it is the directorial debut of Leon Gavin, who also wrote the film. The story focuses on Sophia, a mother grieving the loss of her child who was murdered in a cult sacrifice. Is that a spoiler?
You know what? No, because when they look at the picture, it's kind of there on Netflix.
Okay. So she seeks the help of Joseph, an occultist, to perform a months-long rite used to summon one's guardian angel. The movie was released in select theaters and video on demand in April 2017, and it received primarily favorable reviews, and it currently holds a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's, like, awesome. Wow. I should have checked Rotten Tomatoes before I watched it.
This was a very good movie.
Yeah, this was really good. I was pleasantly surprised because it's been so long.
I just watched Veronica, which I will post a written review of that sometime this week. I have the intro and my final thoughts written. I just need to write the whole middle part, which is the actual review.
Get the meat of it.
Reviewing the elements of the film. So that's another demon possession movie. So I wouldn't classify this as a demon possession movie, but you're still fucking around with the occult, which, goddamn it, kids, the occult is not a toy.
Yes, it is not. So stop that. Shit.
And I'm really glad this movie didn't portray like a satanic ritual as like just something you could do all willy-nilly.
I know, right? Thank you.
It's like just a month-long thing to do at your slumber party Saturday night.
But when you think of it, it's like not like that. All the movies just tell you it's like kind of like an immediate thing that happens, like an immediate cause and effect. But in this movie, it kind of explains to you that like, no way, it takes a lot of like preparation, a lot of preparation.
It all comes down to just poor research on behalf of the writers, because what a lot of people don't seem to realize is that occult and Satanism, all of this, all of that is a religion. These are religious rituals, and they don't just happen willy-nilly.
Like instantaneously, yeah.
And I'm kind of regretting that I didn't like just reach out to someone at our one of our friends at Grindhouse Theology, since it did have a lot of good religious elements. It wasn't just slapstick.
Yeah.
To get like more of a religious perspective on it, but maybe we could do a special episode eventually, because I do like their whole brand of Christianity and horror and where the crossroads are. Definitely. But anyway, let's get into the elements of the film, starting with acting.
Alrighty. Well,
I really like their chemistry.
Me too. I think that's the first thing I said, like off the bat after they met and started like staying together in the house. Like when we say chemistry, it's not like they are in love
all the time,
but it's like these two, it's just great. It's so real. Like, I feel like if I were in her shoes, that's exactly how I would act towards her. And if I were him, that's exactly how I would act toward, you know, towards him.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So yeah. Incredible.
They're great. Absolutely. And this movie would not have worked if these actors didn't work together, because it's just the two of them for the movie. It would not work.
No, because they obviously spent so much time together. Yeah, just the two of them. There's literally like two other people in this movie.
Yeah, after the first 15 minutes, it's just the two of them locking themselves into the house by themselves, which on its own, even if you take away the occult elements in this movie, it would be a good movie. Yeah. Just two strangers locking themselves up in a house for a month. Whether you do that as a comedy or just a straight drama, that's going to be a good
something. Film. Yeah, exactly. That's great.
And she was very good. I really believe that she was a broken woman who had just lost her child. And for something like that, that's very easy to be over the top with, I feel. But she was so subtle. And if I was in charge of casting for the Pet Sematary remake, I would probably go with her for the mother.
Yeah. Yeah, I can dig that. And yeah, you're right. She was not over the top. She did not freak out. Even when she like kind of heard her son's voice through that door, you automatically assume that she's kind of like going to open the door and like try to go. But no, dude, she was being real about it.
That scene was really hard.
I know.
Because you're just, you're watching this mother listen to her quote unquote son get dismembered by some kind of animal on the other side, and that was rough.
No, dude, she was defiant until then. They both were, but the whole time I was just genuinely interested in both of their motives. Like, I just wanted, I was just, neither of them fell flat. I was just really interested in what they were gonna do, because the whole time you didn't really know what either of them was going to do next. But the way they, you know, played it was great.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I should say my other comment, because it's a spoiler, it's a huge spoiler.
Let's just say spoiler alert. We're discussing the movie. People should expect spoilers at this point.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at your other point and I completely agree with it.
Yeah, like, okay, so spoiler alert. So she called the occultist guy, and like, he literally is pretty much like an occultist scholar guy. You wouldn't know it, but at one point he dies in the movie, and like, since he was kind of the only one who knew what to do next, what to expect next, and he was her guide. When he died, I like got anxiety watching it for her, because I was like, now what is she supposed to do? Like, everything, she doesn't know anything, and he knew everything, and he was protecting her, and he was doing all these things for her, and he kept his word, you know. And it just, and then he was gone, and I was like, dang, I never like thought I might feel that for a character, but he went there and he was incredible, and I was like, oh my god, now he's dead. Now I was like, she's fucked, and I was anxiety stricken.
No, so absolutely.
I applaud that guy.
And that's one of the benefits of having just two people in your movie, is you actually feel that weight and that loneliness when he's gone, and how mm-hmm. she's feeling, because suddenly she's alone and we're alone. He's not there yes. anymore.
I know.
And yeah, she needed him to help with the ritual. She doesn't know how to do this shit. So what if she accidentally like fucks up and dies?
Yeah, I know. Like, especially when she left the house.
Oh yeah.
But he said that like they can't, if they leave, like they'll never be able to get out, you know. And I was like, well, that's like for a different, that's going mm-hmm. off of acting and going into the story.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it was good. They were both yeah. very good.
That's all I have to say about acting. I had not yeah. much to say, but there's not much, because it's just, it was so good that yeah. that's all I need to say.
Yeah. Totes my goats.
Right on.
All right. So I was, like I said at the top of the show, I wasn't super excited about this because I had just watched Veronica, and that movie was a huge disappointment.
Like, though, so I keep hearing.
Fuck. I'm tired of normies like hyping up horror movies, like, this is the scariest shit I've ever seen. I had to turn it off.
You turn it off because so, it sucks.
It gets me like, it piques my interest, and then I watch it and I keep waiting for like this moment to come that makes people turn it off, and it never yeah,
like
comes.
The aha moment. It never comes. You're just like, did I blink and miss it?
But this movie had me super captivated the entire time.
Oh, me too. Yeah, no jump scares necessary. Man, this was just straight up slow burn, mm-hmm. eerie, just like unsettling the whole time. It's great.
There were a couple of jump scares when the crow hit the window, and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, you're right.
And then at the you're end, right. I would consider at the end where she flicks the match and all the like people are there, I would consider that a jump scare.
Yes, I forgot about that too. You're right.
I really like what they did with the... like sound editing at the end, but we'll get to that when we get to production.
Yes, yeah, I have a lot of notes about that too.
This is just a really well-made movie. We need to support,
I know, it's so much.
We need to support Irish horror movie makers.
Hell yeah, this is amazing. I loved it. Anyway,
it's such yes. a relief after what we've watched these
know,
past few weeks.
I was so excited that it was good. I'm sitting there like, wow.
When I saw that it was an IFC Midnight movie, it really perked me up, because even if their horror movies aren't good, there's usually at least one solid element to them that lets me enjoy it.
Yes, definitely.
Like, it was, I was so happy to recognize a film studio.
Yes. You're just like, oh, thank God. Oh, man. All right.
All right. So my big note, finally, to people who understand that the occult isn't a toy.
Yes. Yeah, he was real serious about that. And at points she was skeptical, but he made me believe that he was truly afraid if she were to fuck it up.
Absolutely.
When she was about to leave the place, he's like, no. Yeah, not a toy. You have to be a very learned person.
So kids, next yeah. time you want to do your satanic ritual, make sure you reach out to an occult scholar and not the creepy goth kid reading... I don't fucking know. Jack White's biography in the corner? I don't know.
Jack White?
I don't know what you goths read.
Jack White. I know, right? Jack White. He's not even like gothing. Oh, you mean like Marilyn Manson's biography?
Yeah, probably Marilyn Manson would have been a better example.
It's okay. It was still funny because Jack White has like black hair and it's kind of long, so they could identify with that being emo. So boom.
Reading Nikki Sixx's biography. That's not really goth kids. That's the wannabe metalheads.
One could argue that like metalheads are even more like dark than the emos.
Are more likely to commit satanic.
They're more likely to, yeah, do that.
Satanic exactly. Ritual murders.
Yep. Yes.
Because, you know, they're especially when they're 16, they just got to keep pushing the envelope to show they're edgy as fuck.
Well, you know that all of the satanic rituals that happen in the United States are definitely caused by metal music. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Proven fact.
Absolutely.
They're not out there. But anyway.
Did you know if you play Stairway to Heaven backwards, it's actually Satan speaking to you?
Satan speaking to you. Like, personally.
Yeah.
He's like, hi, Sam.
Kill your family.
Burn your house. And you're like, and you're like, okay.
Whatevs.
Whatevs.
Hashtag whatevs.
It's like, I don't know about that, man. I'm done, man. Remember that one time you were like, I want to buy an Ouija board, and I said no, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, that was like one of the earliest parts, one of our earliest interactions.
It's probably the best.
I just say, I really want to buy an Ouija board, and you just straight up tell me no.
I was just like, no, and you're like, okay.
I still want to buy one.
That was that.
I still want to buy one. I just, you can't fucking find them within a 40-mile radius of the town I live in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, bros, it's not really a devil worshiping tool. It's produced by Hasbro. They're made by Hasbro.
I mean, like, you can go to Toys R Us, but they're closing. It's going to be hard to get it.
Fucking, does that mean G.I. Joe is a fucking Satanist? Because Hasbro also makes G.I. Joe.
Really?
Yeah. So instead of actually owning a Ouija board when I was in middle school and early high school, I would just make one on paper and then make my own little eye.
Oh, okay. It.
I mean, it's all and the shit. Same shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, paper, plastic, whatever.
Paper's going to be easier to burn when I accidentally summon a demon.
It'll just burn. Like, a demon will come and it'll start burning, but then it'll just burn up and then it won't be able to get through. So be like, fuck.
Yeah, isn't that what you're supposed to do if you accidentally summon a demon, is burn the Ouija board?
Fuck if I know. I don't know. I haven't watched enough demon possession movies to know what's the right way to do it, Sam.
I guess I'm just going to have to rewatch Ouija.
Now I'm thinking about what they do in Ash vs. Evil Dead, and I really don't know.
And what happens if your Polaroid starts showing you evil ghosts behind you? I completely forgot Polaroid was a movie that came out this year.
Shit, I didn't see that.
You're not missing what much.
But it's about the evil ghosts behind you in the Polaroid?
I think that's what it's about. I think if you... I don't fucking know. It's one of those weird... It's one of those weird PG-13 horror movies.
Oh, I
see. Probably is a ghost appears behind you, and like if it's in your,
if it goes, yeah, you should probably like move out for a while. But like then they'll be like, oh well, no, you're haunted, not your house. So it's like I can't. There's nothing I can say about that. Like I can't fix it. I don't have all the answers.
We love making horror movies about these things that hipster teen girls love. But
they love.
I do want a Polaroid camera. I'm just going to try and find one at the thrift shop. I'm not going to buy one of these.
At the wedding, you know, we're going to have those little Instax things.
That's good.
So we can take pictures, and if there's a ghost behind us, then we'll know that the reception hall is haunted.
So speaking of your wedding, because you are getting married in September, should I wear flats with my dress?
If you would like,
because it occurred to me earlier today that since you're doing pre-cana lessons, it's going to be a Catholic ceremony.
Yes, it's going to be a long time. I don't even, you know what though, I'll have to talk to you about this, but like I don't think that you guys all stand the whole time in this ceremony because it's Byzantine.
Okay,
so I think you guys are able to sit in the pew, but
that's
I'm going to have heels on for the ceremony, but I'm going to switch to flats for the reception. So if you want to like do the same thing that I'm doing.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's cool too. Yeah. Also, I'm going to have a bucket filled with flip-flops at the reception.
Oh, the girls too, can so dance at the reception?
Yeah. Yeah, that's damn skippy.
Yeah, they're like, ah! I see you've been on
thought of everything. Fuck yeah. It's going to be in a basket.
A fucking basket.
You can pick what size fucking basket, and you can pick what size you wear.
Wow.
But if everybody has the same shoe size, then you have to pick it first or else it'll be gone. So
yeah.
I don't even know how many shoes to get. This is something that I have to think about.
Like, I'm going to two weddings within a month of each other, and both of them are Catholic ceremonies. So
I see. Wait, when's the other one?
Yours is September 29th, and then David's brother is getting married November 3rd.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So, nice. Literally within not bad. A month of each.
Yeah, within a month. Absolutely. A
lot of driving.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to drive up for the bridal shower, too.
Yeah, I need to figure that out.
Yeah,
maybe you guys could set up. Have you seen these robots with the iPad, and then I can just like Skype and
shut up. No, you're not doing that. Your physical presence needs to be there, like in real life, not the robot.
Fine. No, I was already making a note of that in my calendar and thinking, how the fuck am I getting up there?
Sure. Right. And let me know if you need to stay with me and Luke at our apartment.
That's all right, cool. Probably.
Because we have like a air bed, air mattress, yeah, and a futon. So
nice. Boom. Now, is it a girls only bridal shower or?
Yes, okay. Yes, all it right. is. Yeah, but the dudes are coming after to like help with the gifts.
Okay, in that case, I might make it a super quick trip and bring David just so I'm not driving 6 hours by myself.
Yeah, sure thing.
Fud, fud, fud.
Absolutely.
I'm sure this is enthralling for everyone listening.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's probably like, tell us more about the great movie. It's like, it was so good.
Look, we don't talk to each other that much IRL. We save it all for...
Yeah, we save it all for the microphone chit-chat.
Especially during a week when we watch a movie, because we might accidentally start talking about the movie and cover everything we want to talk about.
And we don't
want
to do... Exactly. And then we'll talk about and be like... We'll have nothing to talk about because we'll be like, oh, well, we already talked about that.
It'll just be like, oh, yeah, like you said on Facebook. Yeah.
It's like we don't have to repeat ourselves. Yeah but we should talk about the plot now.
I agreed with Joseph when he figured out that she lied about what her real intentions were. Like, you don't lie when you're dealing with the occult. That's like lying about your weight when you go bungee jumping.
Yeah, I got really mad at her, but then he got really mad at her, and he got, like, super mad, and I was like, that's exactly how mad I would have gotten.
Because when you're fucking with the occult, you're fucking with your own life.
Dude. But so, listen, another point with, like, how good it was, how subtle their motives were, and how it kept you guessing. Like, after she did that, you know how when he went to, like, do, like, the bath ritual thing? Dude, I thought he drowned her because he wanted to kill her. Because she fucked the ritual up, but no. And we couldn't know until he revived her. And I was like, God damn it.
That had me on edge. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. What?
Me too. And then it made me think like, oh, well, maybe she is dead. And this whole movie is like just about him.
I thought you said, what if she was dead? And I was going to bring up the Black Mirror episode where he's testing that game.
Playtest. Yeah. Holy shit. That's like one of the scariest episodes,
that
dude.
That is probably my favorite episode of Black Mirror.
Dude, it's my favorite. It's tied for first with something else.
The pig fucking episode?
No, Shut Up and Dance.
Okay. That playtest really fucked me up. Even if you have no interest in watching Black Mirror, watch the episode Playtest.
Because that'll really fuck anybody. Hopefully it will fuck anybody up. Because if it doesn't, then like...
Where's your heart?
Where's a problem. Your soul? Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Even Sam and I like got upset over that.
Like when the episode finished and they revealed the twist, I was like, what the fuck?
I know. I was like, I want to watch it again just because it's been a while. Because I watched it whenever season 3 came out, whenever I first got into Netflix. And I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And then I just binged all three seasons. And that was when I was still in Alexandria. Yeah.
So it's been a worried while. With how Netflix now owns the rights to Black Mirror, that and now they're putting out a season every year. I'm worried that the quality of the episodes will decline.
That's exactly what I thought too, because I saw that they're going to, it's renewed, and I was like, that was fast. And I was like, it's good. Like, this was good, but I was like, don't push it.
Bless you. Because the beauty of British shows is a lot of them are done on commission. And mm-hmm. a good example of this is Doctor Who. It ended in the 1980s, but then it came back 20 years later, same storyline, same doctor, just a continuation. And British shows can do that a lot because of just how the payment system is set up. And I think that's what helped the quality of Black Mirror a lot, is they had,
right,
they couldn't rely on ad money. They had to be good enough to get good enough ratings so the country will give them more money, pretty much.
Right. And boy, was Black Mirror incredible, in my opinion.
I even like the pig fucking episode, I think.
That episode. Me too. It's a great first episode to like get you, you know, going throughout the season. It's like, if you can't get through that episode, it's like a good basis to set how messed up everything is in different ways. Yeah. So if you're not into the first episode, then just don't even continue watching it.
Depending on who I'm getting into it, I'll recommend whether or not they should skip the first episode, because since it's not a linear story, you don't need it.
Right. They can start anywhere.
Like, if you're someone who just can't handle animal abuse, then go ahead and skip the first
episode. Yeah, then don't watch it. Yeah. But even a vegetarian like me, I could understand the thing is. But anyway, Playtest is a great little bit of horror.
Getting back to the movie at hand, though. The only part of the story, I took a little bit of issue with was actually seeing the guardian angel at the end. I thought it looked a little silly. I kind of wish it was just a really bright light and not a giant angel.
Like a, with like the, like armor.
Or how it could have worked really well is if they actually used like a Bible version of what an angel should look like, because... Have you ever seen the sketches of what angels look like based on descriptions in the Bible? They're pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah. Really?
And that makes sense to me, because demons and Satan are supposed to be very beautiful to lure you into following them. An angel, why do you think angels always say, do not be afraid when they show up? It's because they're fucking...
They look scary.
Angels...
Like a scary evil ghost in the Polaroid picture behind you. It's probably an angel. It's your guardian angel, so don't freak out.
Away from God.
It's time for you to go home. That's why they're there.
God, stop with the beautiful angels. Show me the fucked up demon-y looking angels. Fucked up demon angels. Yeah, here's a... maybe this isn't what I'm looking for, but angels are not supposed to be like these beautiful sparkly creatures. They are supposed to be a little scary. The game Bayonetta, I think that has a very accurate representation of what angels should look like. Nice. But yeah, that was really the only issue I had. It didn't fit. I think it would have looked much better if it was just a white light she was staring in.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that, because when I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep. Yeah, it was weird. But then I was like, I'm just going to keep watching, because maybe, you know, I'll get used to it and, you know, it'll be fine. It'll grow on me. But it really didn't. So, okay, well, here's a question for you regarding the ending still. how did you like when she said that her favor was for her to be able to have the power to forgive?
I absolutely love that. I thought it
Did
was
you like that?
Great character development. Because she starts the movie very angry. And at the end, I think she's let go of that anger. And Mm-hmm. I feel like had she wished for revenge, it would have been one of those situations where the wish backfired on her. Because I think this is just a theory, a fan theory. He dies at the end, and his wish was going to be for loneliness.
That he could be like, he wanted to be free. And alone. That's
free from everything, and he ends up dying. So I think that was his guardian angel's way of granting his favor, was just killing him, because what's the ultimate form of isolation? It's death. Unless you are religious and you have heaven, your version of heaven to look forward to. But from an atheist perspective, death is the ultimate isolation.
Right.
So it's kind of, have you ever seen Bedazzled, either the original or the remake with Brendan Fraser? Okay. No. Well, in Bedazzled, he meets up with the devil, and the devil gives him 5 wishes, and each one always has a twist at the end. Like, when you make a wish with a genie, you need to be super specific, otherwise you're fucking yourself over. And at the very end, he ends up saving his soul from the devil by wishing for the girl he likes to just be happy, whether or not that's with him or she's with someone else. And that sets him free from his deal with Satan. And he goes on to live a happy life with no evil twist. So I think it's that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because I think that wish was very selfless. And revenge is a very selfish pursuit.
Right.
How did you feel about it?
Well, I was expecting something a little different. You know what I mean? I was expecting for her, I was expecting her to want more of an action than a moral dilemma being faced.
That makes sense.
But that's just me, because the whole time I was like, it's going to build up to some kind of action, some kind of event. And that's what I was like, that's just what I was expecting. But whenever she said that, I wasn't that disappointed. I was just assuming something different. But I thought it was still a good character development, because I feel like at one point she said, like, she doesn't do forgiveness, and she was, like, very angry with her sister. And then they had a very subtle conversation about how she was in a mental hospital and all this shit. And it was, like, all this crazy shit. And it's like, how can you possibly imagine being able to forgive the person that kidnapped and, like, probably killed your son?
Yeah.
So that's something huge. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a great character development coming full circle.
It's a very quiet ending.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're not, then that's why I was a little surprised, but thinking it over, that's the way it should have ended. Because I feel like if it was some sort of big event, it would have not been as fulfilling.
Yeah, she had a lot of anger and she needed to let it go. And I think at the end, she was able to do that.
I think I like wrote a little note about, oh, I said, like, I like how the abyss is like a mind over matter thing. And if she can escape, she can be free. And that's when she was like surrounded by the demons and like cut her finger off and stuff. But she was able to run away. And then that's when her angel appeared. And I was like, oh, well, she did it. You know, she completed the ritual, because she was like, when do I know if it's going to be complete? And it's like, you'll know when it happens. And like, I guess that, you know, that's it. And yeah, there's that. Before we move on, what was the scariest part for you? Because I know my scariest part, I want to talk about it. My favorite part.
I think
the
scariest part for me was just going back to when she's talking to her son through the door, because it was just really intense.
Oh.
And it was very well acted.
Yeah, that was.
Not scary in a sense that it made me jump out of my seat, but just is she going to open the door, and is what's going to happen if she does open the door? That was a very intense, heart-wrenching scene.
Yeah, I bet it was. Yeah, it definitely was. Even at the end, when he talked through the door to her, after the guy died, into her bedroom. But mine was still when she broke the circle and she left the house after he died, and she walked, and I was like, dude, what's going to happen? He said that she wouldn't be able to ever leave. And then her car didn't start. And I was like, oh, shit. What a very terrifying yet super realistic thing that would happen. You know what I mean? Like, you'd assume in, like, a demonic possession movie, like, oh, if you break the circle and leave the house, the fucking house will just blow up or something really crazy will happen. But, like, this whole movie
it was all had about none of that. Subtleness.
Yes, that's like the word for the whole movie I would use is like there wasn't a lot of conversation. It was all action. It was all visual. And it was all here's a couple words about her past. Here's a couple words about his past. And it's left up to the audience to kind of perceive what is going to happen between them and their future. So it was really great. But yeah, the scariest part, I liked it whenever she walked and she found the house and I was like, dude, it's going to be the same house. And she walked up back to the same house where she began. And I was like, dude.
And so that was another part that
a great little
spooked me was when he was first stabbed with the shrapnel. That actually got a little gasp out of me.
Yeah. Oh, with the knife when he got stabbed with the knife.
Cause as soon as he got stabbed, I knew that it was not, there was a possibility it was not going to have a happy ending.
Once I knew, I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, well, is the knife clean? And I was like, oh, shit, it's probably going to get, like, infected and stuff. Yeah. And he's going to get really sick and she won't be able to fix it because they can't leave to fix it. So I was like, God damn. But he's a trooper.
He held on for a pretty long time.
All right.
So moving on to production notes.
Production. Yeah.
Sorry, I had a hiccup.
What do you got?
Yeah, it's okay.
Another one.
What do you got? All right. So let's see. I loved all the greenery at the beginning of the movie. This was...
Oh, yeah.
I wish more horror movies took place in England, the UK, because they're just so overdone here in American farmhouses. A while back, a really... long time ago at this point, maybe a year or so ago, I was watching Cat Icarus, who's a video game reviewer on YouTube. He was reviewing The Conjuring 2, and he said that was something he really enjoyed since he lives in London, seeing a horror movie take place in one of these cramped English houses rather than a spacious farmhouse. And I felt that way watching this movie. You'd get the nice, beautiful greenery that's in these countries, but it's also dreary just because that's how the UK is. It's always raining. It's always gray.
Yeah.
Not always. I mean, not always. I was in London. It was very beautiful when I was in London, but stereotypically, it's always gray and dreary.
Yeah, dreary. And that's what you kind of think of as just like, rain 100% of the time. But yeah, and you still get that isolation too because it's like, you know.
And it fit the mood of the movie. And at the end, when she's leaving, it's a little sunnier outside. So you know she's gotten the closure she needed from this ritual. Right?
Yeah,
ritual.
Definitely.
Yep. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And I loved a lot of the shots like you did. There were a lot of moments, like just the way the scene was set up where it felt like something spooky was going to happen on the other side of the screen. The one that comes to mind is when they're in the bathroom and he's trying to revive her. The bathroom is not the focal point of the shot. It's over to the right of the screen and you see the steps on the other side of the screen and I was just anticipating some kind of demon to come up those stairs.
Me too. Dude, me too, because I kept looking because I was like, dude, this is a split screen. Is there? Are they showing me something? Yeah, and I was like, are they going to show me something?
And they did that quite a bit throughout the movie, and I really liked it. I think it was meant to be a reminder that you're expecting something huge to happen like you always do with this type of movie. It's just them.
But it's not.
And they're alone.
Yeah, it's just them, and they're alone. Yes, exactly. Stop saying they're alone. That's the real horror show.
Being alone.
Okay.
What else you got?
Production notes. We both wrote something about the score. I really liked the score. It wasn't overbearing. It did what it needed to do to help build the creepy atmosphere.
I love
the
high pitched
noise
that they use throughout.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Yeah. It just like complemented every scene.
And then when you get to the end of the movie when she's like being attacked by the demons and having her finger cut off, that's supposed to that's a very loud scene. But I loved how they muted it.
Yes, I know, me too. I was like, hell yeah. I don't need noise.
When you just
I'm sure it's scary.
When you're going through a traumatic event, like in all dramas, they always mute these dramatic events because everything else just gets drowned out through with whatever's going on in your head. But in horror movies, when you're going through something traumatic, like having your finger cut off by a bunch of demons from hell.
Yeah. With lanterns and they're all naked and stuff.
That's actually my kink.
Really? And they have like chalky stuff all over them. Like
that's really what gets me going.
Okay. Nice. That's why you really liked this movie.
You caught me. I can't believe this is this guy's directorial debut. It was such a good movie.
Dude, incredible work.
It absolutely deserves that 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yes, it does. Man, well, that's all I got to say about production. All
right, realistic elements in this movie of horror.
Once again, I had to add mine because I forgot.
No, it's fine.
I forgot to do it.
It's fine.
Because I looked at yours.
Usually,
I was like,
I'm the one who forgets.
It's the purpose of like why what we're doing
it's
here.
It's why
and
we stole the
time. Like,
URL realhorrorshow.com.
Fuck. I know.
I'm not going to say we stole it. They let their domain ownership lapse, so we were able to get it. Although, if I ever found out that he just forgot to pay and like 1 week later we bought it, I would feel really guilty. Okay, so realistic elements in this film. I wrote down the loss. And that feeling that comes with no one understanding what you're going through. You really see that in the beginning when she's talking to her sister. Her sister wants to be there for her, but she's not the one whose child was murdered. And that's something not a lot of people will ever go through, hopefully. So if you are one of the few people who does go through that, there's just that feeling of loneliness. And it's why a lot of parents of these parents of missing children end up divorced, I think, because they're both going through their emotions, but they're dealing with it separately. And even though they're going through it together, they still don't understand what the other's going through, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I feel like shared trauma can either like strengthen your relationship or it can just make it fall apart. Just really depends on how it's worked through,
and then isolation I think is a real horror element, even though that's what Joseph wanted. I think if that's not something you're going through, and if you're in isolation with a complete stranger, that's very scary. Because you don't actually know this person. What if she was a serial killer? What if he was a serial killer?
Exactly. You know, it's
spooky.
Spooky. All right. I got being alone. Just added that. Having your child be kidnapped while they're at daycare when your child is supposed to be at a place where you assume is going to be safe. And then you go to pick up your child and they're just not there. You know, what would you do?
I would freak the fuck out.
Right, and you wouldn't know what to do for the rest of the time because then you'd find out that they're dead, you know?
Yeah, that would just...
So then what can you do?
Yeah.
Just think of the last time that you saw them.
It's hard.
Am I making you sad?
No, it's just... No, because this is something that really happens in real life.
Yeah,
it's real.
We got super heavy when we did Nightmare on Elm Street because it's heavily implied that Freddy Krueger is a child molester, and that's really heavy shit in real life. Just like child abduction.
Yeah, that's like happening like on the reg.
Especially with the internet now, kids befriend strangers on the internet.
Yeah, it's so easy to like find what you're looking for.
Just destroy computers. Get rid of them. Except
no
for
more
the,
social media.
Except for the purpose of this podcast, of course.
Yes. Only podcasting is allowed.
Yeah, just our podcast.
Yeah.
We've got your best interest at heart.
Yeah, we do. And then I think I also wrote, like, having to go through with a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I also meant, like, that doing that with a stranger because you're going through a ritual that you know nothing about.
Yeah.
So how can you know that – how can you know – 100% that it's legitimate. You're just going off of the words of another, so you have to like put your trust into a stranger.
Yeah.
And like, how can you do that? You know what I mean? Like, what's the consequence of that?
Never know.
I mean, that's a real horror show.
So we keep forgetting to rate the movie at the end, although with a lot of these movies, it's pretty clear what our rating is. What do you rate this movie, Stormy?
Not bad.
That's not one of our ratings.
Well, I'm adding it, goddammit. No, it was, oh yeah, that fucked me up because it really did.
Mine too.
So, A plus.
Mine too.
Great.
You don't. This movie is a good lesson to all future horror filmmakers that you don't need a lot of blood and guts and jump scares to make your movie scary and effective.
Yeah. Even with the blood.
Sometimes.
It was like realistic. Yeah. It wasn't overbearing or like none. It was like, okay, that looks like he really got stabbed IRL. I'm sure that's what it would look like.
Sometimes it's really refreshing to have a movie like this.
Yeah, it was such a breath of fresh air, dude. This was great. I was just so excited watching it because it was so good and it didn't get bad at all. I was like, I'm waiting for that point where it's just gonna be crappy.
I'm waiting for that CGI monster.
Yeah, but I was like, oh my god, this is just, even that one part where there was kind of like the shadowy figure.
Yeah.
And then he was sitting in the chair and it was like, all you can see was like the cigarette, the red end on it. And then when she got closer, there was nothing. But I was like, dude, that's it's so good because it doesn't have to be a fucking scary, terrifying ghost monster with a scary face. It's just a shadow of something that you aren't sure it's there. Or not.
And their demons didn't look like demons. They were just people.
People. Scary not people.
CGI.
Fallen people. Yeah,
this was
not CGI.
This was a very well done movie.
Well done.
Let's look ahead to our next episode.
see
if our streak continues or if we're back to where we were. All right.
Back to the plateau of shit.
Our next movie is A Haunting at Silver Falls. Two dead souls haunt a lonely teen. Is it psychosis or a warning? Only the truth will set them free.
Oh. Silver Falls.
Yeah. A haunting Etzel.
Wow, that sounds like a place. Like a campground or like a city?
I don't know. It sounds like she might be in a mental institution. And you know how fun horror movies are when they use mental illness.
Even better.
Definitely.
Even better. I'm ready to do that one next. A Haunting at Silver Falls.
You know what movie I really wish would come back to Netflix so much that I would break our alphabetical order streak for it?
Yes.
I think it's called The Life Zone.
Life Zone? I've never seen that.
I've had to have told you about it before. It's an anti-abortion horror movie.
Oh,
it's so horribly good.
Oh, right on. It sounds awesome because I've never heard of a horror movie with that, you know, that plot before.
I mean,
so
it's
cool.
Super fucking boring because these three women, they wake up 9 months pregnant in this like Saw-like dungeon, but they are very well taken care of. And the only thing they are put through, the only torture they're put through is watching all these videos about why you should keep your baby. That's the movie.
Interesting. And it's called
The Life Zone.
The Life Zone.
Oh, it's so bad, but it's so good.
As opposed to the Dead Zone.
Nice. And it used to be on Netflix, but it's not anymore. Well, I'm sure that A Haunting at Silver Falls is just as good.
I am sure it's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be really scary.
For now, I think we're through with the Bollywood horror movies.
Good. Which, no offense.
No offense, but
fuck.
They were bad.
Fucking terrible. We're both like, no offense, but Jesus Christ, man.
They were hard to sit through.
And enough. See. And I can't even say you've seen one, you've seen them all, because no, it's not like that. You think you've seen one terribly boring movie, you're in for a whole other ball game when you watch it. It's just... Anyway.
Did you think it was over?
No. And if you think that when you watch one, it's the only one, I assure you there's three sequels. Like 1920 London.
Yeah, 1920 London is a trilogy.
Yeah, man. So if you think that you're done with 1920 London, you haven't heard of 1921 London. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself for the fun to never stop. Okay.
Bro, do you have the notes pulled up?
I do, bro. I do. Want me to do it now?
Yeah, do it.
Yo. Sorry, I keep clearing my throat. Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. Today, we've learned that you should not play with Ouija boards.
The occult is not a toy.
It is not a toy. Like an Ouija board, it's a toy because you can go to Toys R Us and buy one. But, you know, don't get a real one and play with it for fun because it's not a toy. I meant for that to not make any sense. Okay.
I thought so.
Okay. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear. Follow us on Twitter at @horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Leave us a comment and let us know. Or check out the contribute page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it is not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We post written reviews when we have a minute. We're very busy.
I'm working on it.
Sam is working on it. It's got to be great. So it takes a long time to make a good one.
Look,
because listen, we have to watch these shitty movies and then like discuss eloquently with you why they're shitty. And listen, that doesn't take like 5 minutes.
Here's the
weeks.
Thing. Here's the thing. I am freelancing full time, so that takes up a huge chunk of my time. Stormy's planning a wedding and working two jobs.
And I come home and I cook dinner. Ah!
Sometimes I will watch a movie with the intent of writing a review, but it's just so boring, so bad that it does not inspire me.
Dude, right? But you have to force yourself because you watched it, so you feel like if you don't write a review on it, it's like a waste.
Yeah.
That's how I'm starting to feel about watching horror movies. I'm like, I have to write a review on this because I feel like if I don't do it, I'm like wasting my time and everybody else's.
You can't write off Netflix as a business expense if you don't write the review.
Exactly. You know that meme and it's like a picture of like someone, I don't know what it is, but the caption is like when you're trying to like eat healthy, exercise regularly, drink 8 cups of water, like have a social life, work 2 jobs and do this and then still like do the like still like be sane. And it's like that's how I feel and probably how Sam feels right now. Just like take that into consideration, people.
I feel
although
so
we're funny.
Guilty.
Yeah, like we're funny on social media, but you really don't know our lives.
Yeah.
Because we haven't unveiled them to you. You can't know our struggles.
Yeah. I mean, real talk. I'm working on my review of Veronica, and I will have it up at the end of the week.
Nice.
But if you follow us on Twitter, you already know my thoughts on it.
Yeah. It's probably a fucking stinging pile of shit.
I wouldn't describe it as
I keep seeing
such,
people
but...
that like it. They really like it. They're like, ah, I'm so sad that this was a real true story, and it's so scary. And I'm like, what?
That's actually one of the problems I take with Veronica. Because
it was based on a true story?
Yeah, it is based on a true story. And I do a lot of the times, and I may be a little hypocritical right now, but I do a lot of the times take issue with horror movies that use real people, because this was a real 14-year-old girl who died under very mysterious circumstances. And I'm willing to bet that it was not a demon possession that killed her, but possibly an undiagnosed mental illness.
I see.
That led to other issues. Because I really do believe that a lot of demonic possessions can be attributed to shitty religious families who don't believe in mental illness, ignoring their child who may have the early signs of schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder or any of those.
Yeah.
Illnesses. And
dude,
controversial opinion, but
yeah, listen, no, it's right, because I'm sick of people thinking that like schizophrenia and that isn't real when it comes to kids or people, because like, just watch that Slenderman documentary that we discussed.
I'm just
in another episode.
I'm also just a little tired of mental illness being used in horror movies as why nobody's,
well,
I don't know.
Have you seen the trailer for Unsane?
I have not.
Oh, watch it after we're done recording.
Okay, I will. You will be
pissed. I don't know. I want to get your thoughts on it for real, because I don't know how to feel about it. Okay.
Okay. Maybe anyway, that's something we can add to the end of these episodes, as we watch horror movie trailers and just react to the trailer.
Yeah. Or like what we watched this week or something. I haven't watched anything this
week.
We're
not copying classic horror.
I try to live it by you.
Although real talk, if any of our 52 listeners is a musician or can mix sound really well, I want a better opening theme for our episodes.
I guess some scary fun stuff. Cool.
Because I love the opening for cult classic horror.
Yeah, same. Also, if you like are an artist, can you like draw us for free?
Maybe.
Thanks.
Maybe. We'll give you exposure.
Yeah, hell yeah. We'll get you some more fans. Maybe and people will want to buy your art. And yeah.
Design some
anything. Shit. Even a scribble. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be great.
I don't know if you saw, but I updated our cover photo on
Twitter. Scribble. Did you? Oh my God.
Yeah, I updated it to the drawing I did.
Oh my God. That's so great. Can you make like a drawing of just you and then just me, like those drawings, so I can make it my picture,
just the ghost,
like my Twitter picture,
just the ghost.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make another one.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Good.
But that's all.
Anyway. No. Wait. We're not.
Oh shit.
Yet.
We're not doing the end notes.
Oh no. We've like three more ones. We love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. So please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal or sign up for monthly donations and receive special rewards based on your support level. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. Great. Any other pertinent news do we have? Not really.
No,
nothing's going on over
with any begins on Twitter recently.
Yeah, let me know what goes on with that. I'm just not doing much over here, just chilling. Snowed a little bit here.
I'm snowed in.
Not as much as it snowed there. Yeah. That's crazy.
We got 6 inches. It happens a lot because my town is built on a mountain. So when we get hit with snow, we actually do get hit with snow.
Wow, that's the real horror
and
show.
And our garage doors have been broken for the past week. So we have to open them manually. And last night I was just like, fuck it, I don't want to do it. And then we get 6 inches of snow and I'm like, oh, it's fine. I'm not going to go anywhere. And then I remember my microphone is in the trunk of my car. Because the last episode...
How did it get there?
The last episode we did was at David's house. I was at David's house. So I didn't want to just have my $300 microphone. Not maybe like $200 microphone sitting in the back seat visible. So I always put...
Yeah, I was like, whoa, is your microphone made of gold?
I always put my valuable shit in the trunk of my car whenever I go out into public.
Good idea.
That's what everybody should do.
Good idea.
Yes. Don't give them a reason to break into your car.
Like your purse? Just put it in the trunk.
It's fine. I don't carry a purse.
Cover it with the blanket. You don't carry a purse.
No, I just have my wallet.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever seen you. I'm trying to think about what you do carry on you.
Like, occasionally. Like a, I have a...
But, yeah, what do you have?
I usually just have my backpack.
Oh, yeah, your backpack. I was like, what do you have?
For classes and study groups and going to work at Starbucks or something, I have my backpack. But for work, I have a purse specifically for work. But I just... I don't really have a casual purse. I feel like they just end up as garbage cans.
Yeah. Garbage can. Yeah, you're not wrong about that, bro. All right. Well, that's all I have. So thank you. Fuck off and have a swell evening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
All right. Bye.